is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.
G'day everyone, and welcome to another episode of Tribbles and Ecstasy, episode 112. I'm your host for today, Woody Valley, and my other hosts are Midnight Shadow.
Hello.
Dr. Tricky.
Hello everyone.
And Skipper.
Hello everyone.
Well, there's quite a lot of happened this week in Star Trek Online. So we had to have some news here to talk about. So first up, this happened about half an hour after this got put up half an hour after we recorded last week's show, that Brand Flakes is finishing up at as his lead community manager, and he's moving back to Southern California from San Francisco. So what he pretty much commented was he just with family events coming up with his sister's getting his first child and he's getting married himself, he decided to family is more important than his current dream job, of so he said, to to move back to Southern California. So after 2.5 years he's finally did a pretty good job as being community manager, and the short period of time as being lead community manager. So I certainly pass on my thanks to Brainflakes for what his work he's done. So what do you guys think about all this?
Well, it's understandable, although especially this last year he has got better at sort of in a way separating life and work, because used to sort of basically he was always getting back to people sort of all hours of the night and weekends. So it's only been the last year that he's actually been sort of like taking the weekends and things like that, and sort of he recently had a family wedding as well, and sort of being someone who's actually moved 600 miles away from family, sort of been separated, I can understand where he's coming from as well. But he's right, sort of family should always come first. So it's a shame to sort of see him leave. I think he did an excellent job as community manager. He'll be missed, but hopefully we'll still be seeing him in game.
You guys are very positive about that move, and I don't know, I guess I'm the paranoid type that wonders what other things might be going on. But I think you guys have a longer history sort of with knowing Brand Flakes and all of his posts and stuff. It just seems really odd, like right after he took this promotion, which might have alleviated some of those issues you were mentioning, Midnight Shadow, about separating life from work. But maybe this was even more work, who knows?
It probably added to his work, because if he's team lead of all of Perfect World Games, so he's dealing with people in all sorts of different parts of the world. So there's all the games that they've got in Asia, there's then the community managers they've got in, I think it's Germany, France. So he's probably been doing a lot of communicating to sort out things like that as sort of lead community manager. So I don't know exactly what his job entailed, but I would expect it's probably been quite sort of like involved talking to a lot of these people, trying to sort of get everyone doing the same thing across the board. So it might have been that he's been doing a lot more there. Not to mention, he was still doing some of Star Trek Online's community management role, because Smirk, he's still doing some of his old job and training up his replacement. So they've all been helping each other out as well. So it's not just been the one job he's been doing. So there's just an awful lot of stuff to do. And so, yeah, I don't think anything else is sort of been going on there, to be honest.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know. But it'd be interesting to see where he pops up next, because I can't imagine if he has now a track record, he might be doing this again. There's definitely stuff that goes on in Southern California that probably would be good for him to check into. So I doubt it's the last we'll hear from him, for sure.
Well, he's tweeted that he's got a job offer down there. He hasn't really gone big details. It did his usual redacted sort of tweet of what the job consists of and stuff like that. But he has got given a job offer down there. So once he moves back in and settled in, he's got some employment. Plus, he's also still planning on going to Las Vegas doing the convention there and whatnot. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
We're not going to get rid of him that easily.
I didn't say it. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, no, he loves Star Trek and Star Trek Online too much just to not sort of keep doing things within the game and the community. As we all know, he sort of founded Priority One before he was Stowe's community manager, so he was always heavily into the community and the game, and I don't think that's going to change for him wherever he ends up sort of moving to or whatever job he does.
Yeah, for sure. But so, you know, as I pretty much already said, you know, I certainly wish him all the best with his future endeavors, and hopefully I can see him in Las Vegas in 2016. So in another bit more positive news, the 2014 Scribe Award nominations have been released, and Christine Thompson, or better known as Cryptic Kestrel, has been nominated for a award for her short story work in the episode or issues of 44 and 45 of Star Trek magazine, with her Mirror Image this short story. So definitely pass on our congratulations there for nomination. So the winners will be announced at the San Diego Comic-Con on the 24th through to 27th of July.
I'm looking at the nominations now, and she's in the short stories category, and there's stories about, it looks like, I don't know if this was an After Earth spinoff, a few of those, and it looks like, let's see, Warhammer 40,000. It's an interesting list. I never heard about this award until we started to talk about this today. So there's also a Star Trek novel in the novel, Star Trek From History's Shadow, which I haven't read yet, but interesting. Interesting. What do you guys think of? Did you have a chance to read this Mirror Image short story? I haven't read it.
I don't get the magazine, so I haven't had a chance to read any of the short stories personally. But I've heard a couple of people talk about them, that they've really enjoyed them, and that they're very good.
Yeah, I've don't subscribe to it too, and I heard it's not a cheap magazine to either. So,
you know, you could stray wrongly in a bookstore, maybe, because that's probably when I would read it. I'm interested in what it's about, and if how long has she been writing content for the game? Has she been in it involved since the beginning?
Yeah, since pretty much the beginning. A story. I got told about her that she actually written a story up, and with the current game, before the Legacy of Romulus was put in, that she'd she did read in a story where a second faction was actually the Romulans, and, you know, do the usual, submit it to official channels for CBS and whatnot, and CBS came out to and said, yeah, we've got a problem here. J.J. Abrams have decided to destroy the Romulus and Remus in a supernova of a sun. And she didn't exactly take it terribly well. She just took her script, went outside, just threw it up in the air, just went to a car, apparently cried for 2 hours because she... amount of work she put into it, only to have it ruined by, you know, the 2009 Star Trek. So she had to, like, pretty much start from scratch again. So, she has done quite a lot of work there.
Interesting. Well, I will look online to see if I can find a summary. I always love mirror stories, and I always wish they made a movie about one of the original movies, or even the Next Generation movies. There was a great Next Generation book called Dark Mirror I've always loved, and I was always hoping they make a movie out of it, but oh well. I guess we get short stories at least.
Yeah, so true. Well, the other thing that's happening this weekend as we put this show together is we got the Junior Officer Appreciation Weekend, where we could work on getting some DOFs. Sorry, Skip?
I believe it was also XP this weekend as well.
Yeah, it's also Expertise Weekend this weekend as well. Pretty much what it's involved is, if you know, you play the game before they did all the changes with the events, hourly events and whatnot, it's pretty much going down to the academy and scanning anomalies to have it either collapse, have a Klingon that you got to kill or defeat appear, or scan the anomaly and hope you got it correct before it collapses and you don't get any rewards from it. So that's pretty much what's involved with it. But instead of this time around, instead of having dilithium, it actually is now giving us DOFs. So going down, it's also a once a day event, so it's got a 20-hour cooldown with it as well. But the rewards is, if you get 5 of these trace samples, you get a common DOF. 25 will give you an uncommon DOF, 50 will give you a rare DOF, and 75 will give you a very rare DOF. It also gives this particular weekend, it's also giving a 50% accommodations XP on completions of DOF missions, so that does come in handy when you want to tier up your accommodations there. And so the C store doesn't miss out as well. Gives a bonus green or better duty officer for free every time you buy a duty officer pack, and you also receive a free purple DOF when you talk to your duty officer contact. This all ends on the 14th of April at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So, you guys had a go at this at all?
Today was the first time yesterday was the first time I properly sort of got in game. But doesn't this event start? Did that start yesterday? Or is that Monday?
Yep. No, the 10th.
It's running until the 10th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Start on the 10th.
10th to 14th.
Starts on the 10th, yeah. And finishes on the 14th.
Yeah, no, the most I've been able to do is sort out some DOF assignments and sort of tidy up my inventory, as I haven't really been in game much over the last 2 weeks because of work. So I haven't had a chance to do anything. I'd like to, because I've got quite a few characters that aren't yet max level. So I'd like to try and do some stuff to sort of level them up, especially when it comes to sort of the commendation stuff. Got a lot to do on a lot of my characters. I think I've only got one out of the 21 that is actually max on all of them. So hopefully this weekend I'll get some time to play.
Anyone else had a go at this?
Nope.
Yeah, not yet.
I'm still like going out through a science and fiction at the moment, so it's like sitting in front of the computer is not helping terribly much, especially when my medication I'm taking, cold and flu tablets I'm taking, is starting to wear off. I managed to play it on my Fed. Of course, you know, about 3/4 of the anomalies I scanned had collapsed, and it took a fair bit just to get the my IDs back on the when it comes to scanning and particles and stuff like that to get the extra trace samples. But I played it, and it might be fun for some people, it might not be fun for other people, but you know, I've seen people say in the forums that, you know, you only get DOS for it, you know, you don't get anything else. So you probably find quite a lot of people have probably got their DOS all maxed out and can't get any more DOS because they've already got 500 DOS sitting there already. So it...
But then this event is more designed for people who are leveling up rather than people who are max level, really, isn't
it?
Yeah, true. So... when I played it yesterday, there wasn't very many people down with me playing it as well. So, yeah, it didn't really draw a big crowd, even though I mentioned that when I was in Cassian Teedspeak, and someone was playing it on the doing it on the Klingon side, and he says, "Oh, it's a lot more busy. It's quite busy down here." So.
Oh, it's good to see quite a lot of people
leveling
up some Klingons.
Yeah, so, certainly definitely give it a try if you listening to the live stream here. Yeah, give it a try, see if you enjoy it or not. So,
especially for people who aren't too keen on the sort of shooty part, because there's a lot of people who believe there should be a sort of more gameplay that sort of not go in and shoot everything. So if you'd like to have a go on something that isn't, then you can just go along and run that event. Though you do sometimes get somebody to kill, because especially for feds, you get a sort of Klingon that sometimes appears instead, don't you?
Yeah, and with if you're on your Klingon character, you'll have a Federation character to kill.
Yeah.
Definitely give it a try if you listening to us live stream. So, but moving on, the date for the season 9 has been announced. For its launch, and the date will be 22nd of April, which is a Tuesday.
The day I go back to work.
Yeah, so at least we know when this is all going to be live and active with all the stuff that's been piling up on the Tribble test server. So people could say, yay!
So, I've noticed, because they used to sort of launch things again, sort of it used to be the Thursdays or Fridays, but it looks like they're moving, because I think the last launch was a Tuesday as well. So I think the aim is launch it Tuesday, then there's 2 days before you really get the maximum loads on the servers. So, and also it's then patch day, so they've got 2 days to then release patches to hopefully fix anything that wasn't quite right on launch day.
Yeah, well, I don't know about Season 8, but I know Season 8.5 was released on a Thursday, and it really didn't land into quite a lot of troubles because it had networking issues with the amount of people jumping on to check all this out. So,
was that the one where they took out the launcher with the update?
Sorry. Yeah, I think 8.5 did take out the launcher, but I think 7 did as well, didn't it? At one point.
Oh, the game launcher, yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's just so many problems when every time I do a season launch. So, like, it's... come on, guys. Surely you can learn from your mistakes.
Well, the problem with software is that you can only do so much testing without things going live. It's like one of the problems I had at work recently. Sorted out the new system for a client, went to launch it, but all our testing that we'd done didn't show a database problem with persistent connections. It's only because of the amount of connections that were established when the clients all started using it that we realised that it was basically overloading the database network. So we then had to shut it all down and put things back to the way they were to then go fix the problem. So it's only when you get the kind of loads that you get when everybody goes on, certain problems tend to show up, especially when it comes to sort of infrastructure and things like that. And the thing is because it's a game and they want to sort of release things and make people come in when they sort of publicise things, they don't have too many people testing it. And we've noticed over the last couple of seasons as well, we don't get these like triple test weekends anymore. Because what they were finding is people were playing it all on Tribble, and then the numbers actually playing it on live went down. So they weren't then sort of coming in, playing the content and spending money, which then gets reinvested in the company.
They sort of like did the changes based on the accountant's figures, basically. They're sort of like, notice they're not making money off of that, so they did the changes. I remember Captain Gecko mentioning that in an interview somewhere.
I think that was the Trek News and Views interview. He was talking to us about it. So I can sort of understand it, but then of course they then don't get as much test data with people playing. Now with the Season 9 release, they've opened up Tribble a lot sooner than they had for Season 8, because they sort of left that quite late, and they also did it with a sort of a beta version where only a select amount of people got in sort of quite early. So they seem to have sort of dropped that, so people, if they wanted to, can get in, but the fact that they're not offering rewards doesn't mean they're getting the huge numbers that they got. So hopefully they've this time got a sort of a happy medium with people testing it and people who will actually go and play the game when it's launched for Season 9. Because unfortunately, because of work, I've not actually had time to get into Tribble. The last time I was in it was when we actually did the live walk round of ESD. Was that episode 108? I'm sort of hoping to try and get in there and have a look and have a test and sort of provide some feedback. So as I'm off on holiday with my son this week, I'm hoping to spend some time in game. Hopefully get some time to actually play on Tribble as well. But we'll see how things go. Have any of you guys been playing on Tribble at all?
Not in a big way. I did jump on it last week to have a look at the revamp of the kits, and I've explained it in the last week's show about it and stuff like that. But other than that, no, I haven't been involved in Tribble terribly much. I'm mostly just waiting for it to go live, then take it from there.
I'm happy to be surprised when it goes public for everyone. So I think that's the easiest way to. Well, for me, I'm interested in the stories, so I can wait.
What about you, Skipper?
Tribble usually crashes for me. I just hate it for that.
Your tribbles aren't in ecstasy.
Nope, they're bombing.
Definitely keep that date on the calendar of April 22nd for the Season 9 launch. So now we've got two dev blogs here to talk about. We've got the Season 9 dev blog number 10, which is titled Undyne Infiltration. Content designer Chris, Mr. Odds, Dodds?
Yeah, I think it's Mr. Odds, yeah.
Yeah, gives us the insight into the new PvE ground event. Undyne have been identified of being residents of Bajor. You have been sent to sent by Tuvok to help discreetly expose the Undyne. They said it's a 15 to 20 minute event. Tips given with this event is to be careful with the Bajorans. They are touchy about their freedom and split up with the investigations and team ups when random investigations take place. So yeah, so just gives it, this particular dev blog just gives an invite and insight into a new ground in PvE event. Obviously the rewards is for the Undyne marks. Definitely looks very interesting, this particular event. It's not exactly a very strong go in, blow, kill everything inside.
Yeah, as I said, I've not played on Tribble, but I've had some fleet mates who went on and played, and they felt this was a very boring mission.
Yeah, but why Bajor? I mean, seriously, why? Is there some... What's the storyline that why they're infiltrating Bajor? I just don't get it.
It might be related to the wormhole.
And Deep Space Nine?
Maybe, but it just seems like such an odd place. I don't know. I'm interested what stories they wrap around it, but... Yeah.
My guess would be something to do with the wormhole and the wormhole aliens, because the Undyne may see them as a threat to plans they may have, because, of course, that's accessed from the Alpha Quadrant into the Gamma Quadrant. So, because they're using the Dyson Sphere to get and that network to get into the Alpha and Beta Quadrants. So that might be... That's the only thing that I've thought of so far. But... Because I haven't
just
been on there.
A stretch. Yeah, yeah. I just think it's an odd choice. But I mean, just reading this description, I probably agree with your fleet mates. It doesn't seem too appealing to me.
The thing is, I think this is probably more aimed for people who have been screaming out for more diplomatic missions.
Diplomacy with phasers?
Well, for the most part, you're... listening to what people say and trying to decide whether or not they should be sort of, if they're suspected as being an Undyne in disguise, you then sort of quarantine them, otherwise you let them go. So it's a lot more sort of, in a way, story based, because you're sort of reading what people are sort of saying and things like that. So, and it's only, because I think they say there's some little times, because basically you can at this point go off on your own to sort of talk to these people to try and get as many identified as possible. But then there are little bits where you need to come back as a team, where sort of like the Undyne sort of try to cause disruptions to all the interrogations. So there's probably areas where this you have to sort of break up, so there's probably a little bit of shooting. A bit like on the Academy event that we're talking about. Every now and then you get a, sort of a Klingon to go and shoot. So I think this is, as I said, lots of people been screaming out for more diplomatic missions. But I've got the horrible feeling that because most people play this game to do sort of shooting, despite sort of what Star Trek was about... it's not going to get a good response, a bit like the Bajor missions from the 2800 series. Sort of nice map and all the things they did with it, but people just got fed up of doing all the running around.
Yeah,
so,
which usually what these boiled down to, but...
Oh, so, but yeah, I guess I'll sort of find out more when I do eventually get a chance to play. But I do know some people who have been asking for missions like this. For example, Terry Lynn. She's always been saying she'd like to have sort of missions where you're not just shooting everything. So I think people like her, who really like to do sort of diplomacy missions, would probably like this one. Because I know she doesn't like doing the STFs because of sort of the way people can act in them. And when you've got missions like this where it's literally you're investigating, you don't have that sort of, oh, you should be doing this and not that, and sort of screaming at people in team chats. And so hopefully it'll lead to sort of a friendlier play for sort of some people.
Yeah, it actually just occurred to me, I wonder if they have people sitting, standing there flicking a coin like they did with that Undyne mission where you had the guy rescue Sulu.
Well, they used that in the 2800 series, didn't they, when on the Bajor mission as well. So they've used it a couple of times, so you never know. We might have the sort of the team decision-making as part of that sort of game.
Yeah, so certainly watch this space and see what goes with it, and you know, have a look and have a play. Moving on here, now we've just got one more dev blog to talk about here, dev blog 11, where it's titled Story So Far. We've got Jiro Sugihara, which is the Federation Diplomatic Corps leader there, gives us a pre-conference briefing. It does contain information on the last two feature episodes, Sphere of Influence and A Step Between Stars, and recommended to play these missions before actually reading this dev blog. So, cover your ears if you haven't played these missions.
Really? Who are those people listening to the show? haven't played those missions.
Well, you never know. There are some people, like yeah. We know there's a lot of players who are in the military who go away for 6+ month stints, so they don't always get to play. So there will be people out there who haven't played, not to mention new players as well. So the thing is we're so used to talking to veteran players who play all the time, and especially as podcasters, the people we're dealing with are people who are on literally, if not every day, at least multiple days during the week. So we sometimes forget that there are very casual players that are on once every week or once every month, or in some cases they go away for big stints because of work and things like that. So.
Okay, they've been more.
Yeah, so just a basic outline of this particular dev blog is it's giving an outline of what achievements you have done leading to the moment with to this particular moment of helping the Romulans resettle, leading to discoveries of the Iconian Gateway and Dyson Spheres with the Undyne threat. But with the Undyne threat, there's still work to be done yet, and Tuvok still requires your assistance. So that's pretty much the basic outline I've got from this dev blog. What do you guys think after reading this dev blog?
Go on.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, it is literally just a summary of everything we've done. Yeah. Although reading through it, I did think, I really want to play those missions again now. especially watching the videos again, it's just like, yeah, I need to level up some of my other characters and rerun those missions, because they are good featured episodes. And it'll be good to run through them at least once more time before the new featured episode comes in to sort of make sure I don't miss any of the sort of storyline that sort of gets revealed and things. Although there was one part of it which I thought when did they find that out? I'm just trying to think what part of it was. Just reading through it again, so if you want to say what you were thinking.
You know, I liked watching the video catch up, but it's funny. I've been obsessed with watching these Conan O'Brien videos, Clueless Game Reviews, and there's one, and it's essentially the shtick is he knows nothing about games, and he has one of his web producers explain the game to him, and they play the game. And one of them that they review is Halo, and the intern is explaining the Halo universe to him, and Conan keeps looking at the camera and, like, nodding off, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. People that are familiar with Halo know what I mean. And reading this, I'm like, God, this is really wormed into the minutiae of these races and systems and where the spheres are going. It's gotten really complex. It's interesting where it's gone, but I don't know. I guess I'm struggling for the big picture and getting back to Star Trek a little more. But you know, I'm still intrigued by the story. Just funny to see it all here in its glory in this summary to really try to catch people up to season 9. That you really feel it. It's gotten really heavy.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I've been finding the news feature episodes, I mean, you know, quite good and, you know, quite well written. So, you know, that it's not like like a tea party, you know, you have to work for it and that sort of nature towards it, that, you know, especially that not all things are going peachy between, you know, with the no Kingdom of Accord being re-signed or anything like that. So it's probably, by the sounds of it, it's with the negotiations with Tuvok, it might actually put things back to normal and actually have the a truce between the Feds and the Klingons and with the helps of the Romulans and, you know, re-sign that Kinema. I just got that feel about it.
I found the bit that I was looking for because it says about the Voth combating the Borg, which is the reason why they want the Dyson Sphere. But I don't remember anywhere in the storyline stuff them actually mentioning the Borg. They mentioned that the Voth are under attack by an alien race, but I don't actually remember them saying it was the Borg. Does anybody else?
Maybe they were picking something out of the Voyager shows for that.
Well, the thing is from the bits we saw, because we only saw the Voth in one Voyager episode, and there was never any mention of the Borg. And the Borg had never mentioned the Voth, and Seven of Nine had no recollection of that species either. But yeah, it's just that in this blog, it says that the Voth Expeditionary Force looking for weapons to use against the Borg, who had invaded Voth territory. And it just made me think, hang on.
When they invaded?
Yeah, they didn't say when they invaded, but also in the storyline we've seen in all the cutscenes that we got, as I said, I don't remember them ever mentioning it was the Borg. And how would the Borg... thing is, in the game, they've completely upped the technological level of the Undine and made them a much harder sort of enemy to defeat. But the Borg are still so easy. Why would the Borg be any threat to the Voth? And yeah, it's. I just wondered where that all came from. So, did anybody else hear the mention of Borg in the cutscenes?
Not I, but you made it sound like I need to go play it again just to try and find out if they mentioned something.
So, but yeah, because the thing is, yeah, I completed. The Voth Tier 5 bit months ago, so it's been a while since I've watched those cutscenes. But yeah, I actually remember watching it again to try and figure out who it was, why the Voth are there, and what the storyline might be for this up-and-coming season. And one of the things that bugged me is there was no mention of who the Voth were defending themselves against. So it's just like, oh, could it be these people? Could it be the Iconians? And yeah, but according to this blog, it's the Borg. So whether or not that's actually a little sort of hint of what's to come, which probably shouldn't have been released, I don't know. But
well, you know, this could also be written from a synopsis that was edited, right? Like, you know, that could have been in a scene or a video or some narration that was cut after editing that's still in the synopsis or whatever the source of this is. So you never know, right? It could just be a mistake as well.
Very true. What I might actually do is, this weekend, our friends over at Priority One are interviewing Captain Gecko. I might stick a question on their Facebook page to ask him about that, actually.
But now I'm intrigued to rewatch that Voyager episode to make sure there was nothing. Because I can't remember if there might have been a side mention or something. But you're right. I mean, their sort of technological superiority never implied they were threatened. But who knows? Now I'm intrigued. I might go look at that quickly.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be the only one doing that then.
Yeah. So, moving on here. We'll guess what, guys?
Foundry mission.
How'd you guess? Yeah, pulled up another Foundry mission here to let everyone know about. This mission is called Homesick Heroes by Emma Hood. I believe that's how it's pronounced. This mission, it's all involved down in the New Romulus, where starting off, when you go into the staging area, beam into staging area, you just go down the ramp, and just below the ramp there, you've got a group of Romulan NPCs. You talk to the leader to actually get this mission ball rolling. Then you go run down in behind the big giant Mother Nanoff behind the water in the waterfall. There you go in where you actually really get the mission started. Just to let people know, I got a little bit confused where the actual start is and all that. So, but you know, it's just something minor there that I'll just let everyone know about if they want to have a go at this mission. But like I said, it's down on New Romulus, so definitely worth giving a play if you go off and do your doff tagging or go, you know, get some Romulan marks. You can go off and play this mission as well and get a little bit of dilithium from it. Basic storyline is you get told reports of, or get told to investigate some Tal Shiar activity down in this particular cave in behind the at this particular cave that's located underneath the waterfall. Go in, you found Tal Shiar activity, you dealt with it. From dealing with it, some sort of activity happened where you end up landing in the future. So you land in the future of New Romulus and figure out what happened. You make attempts to head on, try and get back to your normal time. So that's hence the reason we call it Homesick Heroes. It's a very well written mission for someone who starts off probably his debut mission here. There's quite a nice of effects he's done in the mission. He has done a costume or designed a building. It is a little bit rough around the edges. Some things weren't quite even. I believe it's probably not quite because of probably just the authors are not quite understanding how to do things in the Foundry editor to help with keeping things nice and even. But he done it quite a, you know, for a first attempt, he did do quite a nice job of this particular building as well. So other than that, I definitely recommend on giving this a play. And the dilithium you get from it, it's 1068 dilithium you get from it. Just reading my notes here, and pretty much covered it all. For looking at my notes here, so yeah, definitely worth it. The try of giving this mission a play. So once again, the mission is called Homesick Heroes by Emma Hood. So
so what was the bit of the mission that you enjoyed the most out of it?
I quite enjoyed the story because it's, I think this is the first Foundry mission that I've actually played that actually did involve time travel, but he didn't do time travel into the past, he actually time traveled into the future. So, I think that's the first Foundry mission I've actually played that actually did something along that nature. So, there, and just the effects, you know, it is plain simple effects, but very, very good effects, I found. So, yeah, definitely give this mission a play.
If you could offer the author one bit of advice on a way that could possibly improve it, or is there something that you might have done differently if you were to write it from your experience with the Foundry and things like that?
Well, there's probably just give it a bit of... About the only real thing is probably just let you know about certain things in the Foundry editor to do to try and get the building he built a little bit more clean and even with it. Just the ramp he got going into the building is just when the ramp reaches the actual entrance to the building, it's just not level, stuff like that. I know it can easily be fixed. It's just something the way the editor has been designed, where you actually just got to press some buttons across the top. I can't remember the name of the buttons to press.
Where's the best place for authors to go to fix something like that if other authors have problems like this?
Was no real. It might be Kirk Fate might have done some tutorials about it. How to fix it. I haven't exactly seen any of the tutorials or recent new tutorials that Kofay has done.
So is that on StarbaseUGC.com?
Yeah, that's on StarbaseUGC.com. Just got to be careful with terrain and whatnot. You can make different selections with terrain and ground levels there, so it might be a bit tough, you know, if you're starting out with this, you know, particular debut Foundry mission, but certainly ask questions. Someone might be able to help him out there, you know, put something in the forums or you know, if he gets in the Starbase UGC chat, someone there could easily help him out there too. So you know, but all in all, you know, it's for his first attempt, it's a very good mission. You know, he didn't have any like spelling or grammar mistakes, so you know, there's no points taken off from with it there. So yeah, so definitely give it a good play and give him a helping hand to bring this mission up to light, basically. So it does qualify, of course, like I mentioned, it does qualify for rewards, but it doesn't have very much in the way of players. I think he only has like 20 plus players.
So would people have to be down as a reviewer to find this mission?
No, you don't need to be a reviewer to play this mission. It's not that new of a mission.
Okay.
Probably if you just type the author's name, you should be able to find it, no problem.
And
for,
is this...
For a custom church.
Okay, is this a Federation mission or a KDF, or have they done one of
KDF
each?
Mission. KDF mission. Oh, sorry, Fed mission.
It's a Fed mission.
Fed mission, yes. So, anyway, how are we going for time, fellas?
We've been going for almost an hour now.
Yeah, it looks like we're almost done.
Yeah, sounds like it's a good time to wind it up. So we've definitely talked quite a lot of things there and give you a foundry mission to play. So, yeah, well, since we're getting close to the hour mark, we might just leave it at that. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and hopefully we can see you all next week. So, bye. Bye, guys.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Triples in XTC. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thetriplesinecstasy@gmail.com. The only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.